Right. Okay. So we're picking up from Proverbs chapter 2, from verse 12. I've been studying the first 11 verses last week, teaching us the moral benefits of wisdom for our lives, to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. I love this book, Proverbs, and I love Ecclesiastes, which was also written by Solomon, the wisest man in his day, according to the will of God. Today we thank God that his wisdom is not withheld or just given to one person anymore. He's given to all his children who seek it. And this is why we're studying these amazing verses of this book. Sorry. So I'll pick it up from verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Now, I know he says it will keep you from the ways of wicked men, but here we're talking about mankind, because we're all affected by bad company. We're all affected by bad relationships, bad situations, bad company. We're all affected. But it says if we have the wisdom of God, we will be spared all those things, because the wisdom of the world, as we have learned, is nothing. It leads to death. It's a question of, as the Bible says in James chapter 4, that friendliness with the world is hatred towards God. God and mankind have nothing in common, where it comes to wisdom and the understanding of life. People wonder about life, people worry about life, but the way they choose to do life is never the way that God wants us to do life. The way men choose to live is never the way that God wants us to live. Never, ever, ever. Even the man with the highest moral standards, a person may have good morals and not be a Christian. Yeah, so I've never stolen anything in my life. I've never done anyone any harm in my life. Yes, but have you honored your creator? Do you honor your creator? And do you have his love in his heart? Because the nicest person under the sun will have their moments when, they hate, when they are filled with bitterness and anger and things like that, given the right opportunity. There's a saying that to know the true character of a person, give them an abundance of power or money, wealth. That's when you know the true character of a person. A person may be gentle and humble and all, because they find themselves in humble circumstances. Give them Put them in a situation where they are in charge of power or wealth. That is when you know their true color. That's exactly when you know their true color. So yes, there is that saying, which I have seen in the world personally also, and can testify that, yep, that is true. That's the only time we really know. But while we are all still, on the same level, still looking to God to bless us and all that, we're all nice and humble. We can all be nice and humble. It's like people, when they're in the church fellowship, I see a lot of that deception as well. When people gather together in church and everybody's playing holy, oh, hello, sister this and sister that and brother this and brother that. But out in society, they're cantankerous human beings, who have no modicum of mercy, let alone grace in them, So it's not enough that we're acting. We learned about that, about hypocrisy, didn't we, when we studied Matthew, how the Lord hates it. So he's saying wisdom will save us from the ways of wicked men. It will keep us from walking in the ways of sinners. This is what he's saying. People who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, ways that are not right before God, who lead us to do things that are shameful, things that we would not ordinarily do before the eyes of the world if we can help it, but we can do behind the scenes, when we have perverse thoughts, perverse words. He says it. He says people who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil because they think it's fun. As far as they're concerned, that is the way of the world. They will even go as far. People will go as far. If you try to convict them of sin or try to tell them that what they are doing, is not in line with the will of God, they will go as far as to tell you that, listen, God understands I'm only human. We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's holy. What are you talking about? This is what I always say. God is not a joker when he says, be holy because I am holy. The reason he commands us to be holy because he is holy is because he himself gives us the power and the strength to be holy. It's for us to exercise the will to be holy. But he knows God does not ask us for the impossible. The reason he says it is because he knows we can do it. It's like the command about forgiveness, telling us to forgive everyone who sins against us, telling us to bless those who persecute us, bless those who curse us. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do good to those who mistreat you, who harm you. And we look at them and think, are you kidding me? No, that's not realistic. How can I do that? But that's the thing. This is exactly what God wants. And the reason he asks this of us is because he empowers us to do it. He knows we can do it if we make the choice to do it. And why do it? Because God has commanded it. Because God has commanded it. It may not make sense to us at the time. And a lot of it wouldn't make sense to us because they're thinking, this person hates me. They hate the very breath I take. And you are telling me they've done me so much harm. And you are telling me I should love them, I should bless them, I should repay them good for their evil. How does that make sense? You know, but then it's what God commands. And we don't obey because we have reasoned it out and worked it out. We obey because God has commanded it. Remember Peter and the apostles when they were fishing one day. I think it was after the Lord's resurrection, actually. Oh, no, it was before. And this was before. At the time, the Lord was picking them up one by one to be his disciples. And they spent all night fishing, Peter, James, John, and whoever else was with them, Andrew, I guess, and some others. And they had been fishing all night. Now, these were experienced, seasoned fishermen. They knew their trade. However, they had caught nothing all night. All night, they had caught nothing. Jesus appears to them in the dawn, at the dawn, rather, and says to them, cast your net to the right. And they must have thought, okay, who does he think he is? We know what we do. This is what we do all the time. This is our trade. It's our skill. And we know we've been here all night. There's not a fish in this ocean. Not this day. Not at this time. They're not in this direction. And they must have thought, wondered what he was saying. But Peter responded and said, Lord, we have been here all night trying to catch fish, but unsuccessfully. But because you say so, we will do what you said. And they cast their net to the side according to the command of the Lord, and they came out with an abundance of fish. The Bible said there was so much, they filled both boats, theirs and their partners, filled both boats. Their nets were even beginning to tear. It was a heck of a haulage for them to drag on shore. Why? Because they obeyed. They did not obey because they thought what the Lord said was rational under the circumstance or made sense. He said, but because you say so. So when we obey, it's because the Lord says so, not because we see any immediate merit in the command. But we do it anyway, because our God says so. So now, but people of the world, they rejoice in foolishness and the perverseness of evil. Their paths, he says, are crooked. Those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. People are full of sharp practices, shortcut to make wealth, shortcut to do this, to do that, to get what they want. They don't care who they trample in the process. They don't care who they hurt in the event. As long as they get what they want, they'll do anything. Go to any lengths. And you know what? Unfortunately, such is the majority of the world. And a person can very easily be dragged into it. Because what these people do is prey on people's innocence. People's circumstances to mislead them in bad ways. And the Bible warns us to be careful because evil communication corrupts good character. In the NIV, it says bad company corrupts character. Either way, if we're not with the right kind of people, we will be easily misled. It is such a tragic thing that such a thing has entered what is called the church today, where we have leaders, well, people who set up their own thing anyway, and they're misleading the people, telling them, encouraging them to be greedy, to be covetous, to be worldly, to seek worldly things, you know, relentlessly with all their strength, with all their might. And that's not the command of God. We are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our strength, mind, soul, and everything we are, everything we have. But people say, go for the best. God wants you on the next level. God wants you on the highest level. Oh, do this. It's not your place to be poor. Oh, you're a child of the kingdom. You're entitled to kingdom wealth. So do this, do that. And we don't find all that. That's not preaching. That's foolish talk, perverse talk, because these things alienate people from God. God has no time for greedy, covetous, faithless children. I say faithless. It's not enough that I say, do you have faith? If you believe God will do anything, say, no. Faithless, because God has said to us that Christ told us, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. That is our faith. So if I'm spending my time seeking after everything else and expecting God to then add the things of the world to me, I mean, the kingdom of God to me, I deceive myself. And that's not going to happen. So that's why I said such people are faithless. But that is the encouragement they're receiving today. Why? Because there's a severe lack of wisdom of God in them. Their leaders don't have it because they're not God's chosen vessels, for a start. God does not know them, never mind how much they, you know, they tout the name of Jesus. They're not saying it with any substance. They know they don't have a relationship with him. The people who don't know are their followers. They know they don't know Christ. They don't know Christ Jesus. They say Jesus. Jesus is a name like any other name. So they talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But they are clueless as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They're clueless because they don't belong to him. Nobody who belongs to him will stand and lie in his name and deceive in his name and perform atrocities in his name. I saw a video yesterday that I shared onto my Facebook page. And saw some guy, you know, one of those white garment cults back in Nigeria, who the police were digging up his church. They found two corpses under his altar. And the person who had delivered the corpses to him, delivered them as live children, by the way. I think they were 12 and 14 years old, a boy and a girl. The kidnapper who had delivered the children to him said he delivered the children to the church, kidnapped them in another state, and delivered them to the church prophet. But he said he didn't know what happened after that. His was just to deliver them for a token fee of 50,000 naira per child. That's what a life, the lives of those innocent children were worth, 50,000 naira. And clearly, this prophet, so-called, had his own cohorts with whom he killed the children, and they buried them under the church altar. And the police discovered this. I don't know how they discovered it, but they were there. They showed it all. It's on my Facebook page. And the reporter was asking him, this said prophet, which clearly been arrested. So you say you're a servant of God? He said, yes. The madman insisted he's a servant of God. And the lady said, so in all these things you're doing, the power of God is not enough for you, you know, that you have to go into this thing that you're doing, killing people and all that. He said, oh, that's the devil's work. They always blame it on the devil. I'm sure at that point, the devil thought, what? Not me. But clearly nobody could hear it. But that's the thing. A lack of wisdom. Bad company. Bad character. Evil people. People who delight in wrongdoing. They delight in it. Any kind of wrongdoing. You know, that people do not see a reason why they should walk in obedience and honor God. Any kind of wrongdoing is evil. So we're told that wisdom will save us from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, the very words that come out of their lives, anything that mouths, anything that people say that is not in line with the word of God for is perverse. It is, you know, all sorts of things that people perform. And they're telling you, yeah, it's my right. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, God understands I'm only human. Yeah, nobody's perfect. Oh, don't play holier than thou. And all this. These are perverse words because we're meant to speak. We're meant to speak the words of God. We are meant to speak what is right. It is a shame that generally what is seen as the church today has fallen from that position of prime importance, which is that the church is the custodian of truth, God's truth, not the truth of every man, because we all have our own truth. I mean, I don't, thankfully, since I learned the truth of God. That's all I can boast in. But every man's word is his own honor, is his own truth, the Bible says, you know. And people come forward and say, God told me this, God told me that. And nobody is looking to see if what they are claiming God said is in line with God's written word, because God isn't telling any one of us anything new that he hasn't got written down. All we can do is repeat what God has said, you know. So their words are perverse. Everything they say is like a snare to lead us astray, to turn us away from God and his truth, to lure us into their darkness while we are people in the light. So we don't have to, not if we have the wisdom of God. We will know when we're being misled. Why do many professing Christians not know that they're following wrong leadership? Why do they not know that they're in a cult? Why do they not know that they're being misled by a deceiver? Why do they not know? They say they're Christians. Because the one thing I found is most of the time, their confession of Christ is not genuine, because they haven't come to Christ because of their need for forgiveness and salvation. They've come to the Lord. They mention his name. They proclaim his name because they're expecting him to deliver them miracles, because they're in trouble and they have a need. That's why they've come. Material need, that is. We all have a spiritual need, and that's what matters. But these people come for their material needs. And as such, they will not meet with the Lord because he hasn't got time to waste with time wasted and deceivers. He's the one who cannot be deceived. People can try and deceive me. They can try and deceive you. But nobody can deceive the Lord. So not everybody who calls on his name, and he said it himself, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what I say, only those who do according to my Father's will, my Father's word. So you see, many of us are, again, he said, many are called, few are chosen. Many say they're Christians, but are not. They have no relationship with the Lord whatsoever. So now, then it carries on from verse 16. It will save you also from the adulteress. Now, I know it says adulteress. Once again, this will apply to all of us, because we can have adulteresses in the same way we have adulterers. Well, let me finish reading the portion. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. And keep to the older. Sorry. Oh, yeah. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Let me stop there again before I move on. That's for verses 16 to 19. It says, wisdom will save you also from the adulteress, the wayward wife with her seductive words. It's exactly the same on the other path. Will save you. If we have the wisdom of God, it will save us from the adulterer, from the wayward man and his seductive words, who have left the partner of a youth, one who has made a covenant of marriage but has broken it because of their covetousness, because of their greed, because of the lack of fear of God in them. It could happen to both a male or a female. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But if we have the wisdom of God for a start, we will pick the right partner to begin with. To begin with, because we will let our hearts be guided by God. We will let our decisions and our paths be guided by the Lord. We'll commit our ways unto the Lord and not trust in our own wisdom. And that way, we will not. This is why the Bible says that we should not, as God's children, chosen and loved by Him, we are not to associate in not regular association. We're not to associate in marital situations with people who are not of the family of God. They are bound to lead us astray. They are bound to. And if they don't lead us astray, they will torment us on account of our faith, because these are people who are under the control of the devil. It may seem a long time coming for us to be looking for a believing partner. But you know what? It's always worth it in the long run. God knows what He's saying. Because we're being told here to keep away what we read previously, the previous verses. So we should keep away from people of wicked ways, of perverse ways, people who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. But if we are with the wrong person, we associate with the wrong partner, we enter into a marriage covenant with the wrong partner, we will have all those problems. Because they do not honor the God we honor. And the first place, we have even dishonored our God by not listening to him in the first place. So in order to save us the stress, because it's not God who is affected when our relationships fail. No, it's us. It's not God who is affected by domestic violence and adultery and all that. It's us. It's not God who is affected by broken homes and things. It's us. So here, our God is protecting us from every kind of evil. And He's giving us words to follow and commands so that we can live in the peace and joy that He has blessed us with. But like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7, 20, verse 29, he said, "This one thing I find, God made mankind upright, but man has gone in search of many schemes." In other words, God's created us perfectly and He showed us the perfect way to walk. But when we deviate from the commands and the ways of God, we get in trouble. We get in trouble. We've gone in such a many schemes. And then we end up being depressed and sad and unfulfilled and, weary, anxious, everything you can think about. Unhappy, without joy, without peace. And these are the blessings our Father has already given us. So what's our story? We have ourselves to blame when we deviate from the ways of God. So he says, keep us, wisdom will save you from the adulteress. We have to be very careful. Many women are attracted to men with wealth and with money and looks and charisma and personality and things. In the same way, men also are attracted to women who adorn themselves outwardly, lovely makeup, lovely hair, all of it, not theirs, Anyway. Attracted by them, look at a figure eight and all that and all that. Some are even attracted to the women who are very wealthy and all sorts of things like that, for that sake, for that reason. But then he's saying to us, the word of God is saying, listen, be careful. If you have the wisdom of God, wisdom will save you from all those things. The people who seduce you, many men are led astray by adulterous women. Many women are led astray by adulterous men. And, the word is telling us here, listen, these people have, their house leads down to death, male or female. Their house leads down to, for a house leads down to death and our paths to the spirits of the dead. Because we get into a situation of, with an adulterer or adulteress, we're sinning against God. And we know many ways people are harmed because there's a spiritual tie when we get intimate with people. And you don't know the spirits that live in them. They may have legion in them. A multitude of demonic spirits, you don't know. And you can do yourself a lot of harm. They can entice us away from the Lord. They can, they can trip us up in our walk with the Lord. We have to be extremely careful. If we have the wisdom of God, we will obey God. And when we obey God, we find that it's to our own benefit. It says, none who go to her return or attain the paths of life, because they lead you unto sin. Because in the first place, adultery, God hates idolatry. I mean, adultery. And adultery leads to idolatry. There's spiritual adultery as well. Spiritual, yeah. When we have more than one God, when we have more than one object of our affection, God expects us to spend and lavish all our love on him. We don't even have enough to give him, believe me, compared to what he gives us and has lavished and continues to lavish on us. But once we have divided attention, in that we have another God, how many Christians do I know, African ones, who also believe in all sorts of other gods? They believe in the Muslim God. They believe in the traditional gods. They believe in this, they believe in that. And they say they're Christians. That's adultery. That's spiritual adultery, and God hates it. God hates it. So we have all those problems. He says, none who go to her return or attain the paths of life. If we let ourselves be misled by the wrong persons, the wrong relationships, the wrong intimacies, we're being warned that there may be no return. Because, I mean, there's so many instances of misery involved in these things. We've seen people in this sort of relationships where one person ends up killing the other, or they kill each other, or something, because the devil has been in charge of that relationship because of the lack of the wisdom of God, because the people will not obey. So he's saying, if he can avoid all those things, as he's been saying to us from verse 20 now, he says, thus you will work in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Now, this is the very world and life that people want to hold on to, as with every breath. And Solomon is saying, listen, the only way you can do that, enjoy the best of this life, the only way you can make the most of it and life can be good for you, is to avoid those things, to have the wisdom of God to guide you through your paths in life. He said, because when you are able to do that, when you have the wisdom of God, you will walk in the ways of good men, and keep to the paths of the righteous, not the way of the wicked and evil people that he's been speaking to us about. Do you know? Let's just look at Psalm 1. The fourth Psalm. The very fourth Psalm tells us very, very clearly, tells us the conclusion of this matter that Solomon just spoke to us from verse 12 to the end of chapter 2 of Proverbs. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This is talking to all of us, not just male, mankind, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's the wisdom of God. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Is that not what we want in life? Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, Solomon didn't write this. Somebody else did. But you can see that exactly the same thing are they saying. The wisdom of God, the Spirit of God is consistent. He doesn't mislead us. He won't say one thing to me and then tell you another thing. You know, they wrote this hundreds of years apart. And there were two different people who served God in their own time, in whatever capacity God chose to use them. Yet they had the same message from God, because God is consistent. You know, we have to keep ourselves from the paths and the company and the guidance of people who are lacking in the wisdom of God. But we are to keep. Now, we cannot abandon people. We have to mix with people through the world. This is how we tell them the message of the gospel. Plus, if you only want to mix with Christian communities, I don't know, we're going to end up living in isolation. We wouldn't even go to work because we're surrounded by non-believers. You know, those are the majority of people in the world. But if we have the wisdom of God, we will not be misled by them. And we will not fall into their ways of life, because their ways of life lead to death. This is what we've been told. It's what we've been taught as well. To stick with the wisdom of God, the word of God, because that is the only way. Now, we now move to chapter 3. Because what we just read in Psalm 1 is the conclusion of everything we've read for in chapter 2, verses 12 to the end. Chapter 3 now says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." This is the words of Solomon to his son, the word of God to us. We are the sons of God. And he said, we're not to forget his teachings. We should keep his commands in our heart. The law of God is written on our hearts now, isn't it? Well, it should be. And he says, for his words, his commands will prolong our lives many years, and bring us prosperity. Many people run themselves to an early death because they do not have the wisdom of God, because they are misled by the wisdom of the world, because they are deceived by the evil one who is out to mislead everybody. You know, somewhere in Thessalonians, it talks about, let me see if I can find it. It talks about the spirit of that walks, the lawless one, the spirit that walks in the sons of the spirit that deceives, walks, you know, that leads in the lives of those who are disobedient to God. Oh dear, let me see, where can I find it? It's one of my favorite verses. You know, the spirit of the lawless, you know, misleading people all over the place. You know, let me see. There's some more serious things here. I'm thinking now, actually, have we ever studied Thessalonians? We haven't, have we? We're going to very soon. There's some amazing things here that I love, you know. Where is it? There's the particular verse that says the spirit that misleads the people, the sons that misleads the sons of disobedience, the people of disobedience, you know. And okay, I can't find it now. I'm seeing a lot of other interesting things here, but I'm not going to go into this now. I don't want us to deviate from where we are, but I think after this Proverbs, we're going to go into Thessalonians, because I love this. I love these epistles. Okay, I'll leave that for now. So it says the spirit too is at work in this world that misleads the... I wish I could get the quote right in my head. Well, never mind, anyway. So, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Many people send themselves to an early grave, not because God has called them, but because of what they have pursued, chosen to pursue in life. And they have led themselves to sudden death. We must not think that God is there to act the Superman in our lives. When we walk in disobedience and we're about to get in trouble, we expect God to just jump in and say, no, I'm going to save you. It doesn't work that way. We have his word. We have his commands. It is for us to obey. If I then choose to walk in my own ways, on the ways in which I'm being misled to walk, and I cop an unfortunate one, I'll have myself to blame. I'll have myself to blame. I cannot say because I'm a child of God, I begin to live like a lawless person. I will reap the reward of lawlessness. That's the thing. And that's the thing. People do foolishness. And then when they get in trouble, they're saying, but God, how can you let this happen to me? Oh, God, where are your eyes? How could you let this happen to me? What are you saying? Did you walk in his ways? Were you obedient? Did you walk in the paths of righteousness? Did you live by his wisdom? Did you obey his commands? No. People get in trouble because of things they have done, because of their own disobedience or misdemeanors, and they want to blame it on God. How many things do people blame on God in this world? Unbelievable. Adam did it, remember, in the Garden of Eden, when he disobeyed God by taking the fruit from Eve that Eve accepted from the devil, despite God having told them not to eat that particular fruit, the fruit of that particular tree. We're all familiar with the story. And so when God said, Adam, what have you done? I warned you not to do this. What have you done? He said, well, the woman you gave me, the woman you gave me, she made me eat it. She was deceived by the devil. She made me eat it, and I ate it. So in other words, it's all your fault. There I was minding my business. You know, I fell asleep, woke up, I'm married. And you created that wife and gave her to me. Now look what she's done. In other words, now look what you've done. You gave me the wife. We've got to be very careful. We've got to be very careful. When things happen to us that we don't like, sometimes there is a valid reason God let it happen. We may well be innocent. We may well be right with God. But things will happen for a reason. And we will learn. If we have the wisdom of God, we will understand that God let it happen for a reason. And we will accept it with thanksgiving. And you know what happens? We mature with it. We get better with it. That's what happens. But then there's another kind of situation where whatever happens to us is a result of our own disobedience or sinfulness. And at such times, we should not imagine that it's anything to do with God. James said it in James chapter 1. James said it because, we human beings, we are the same from age to age. Nothing has changed in us, nothing. We're all the same. Verse 13 of James chapter 1, 13 to 15. James said, when tempted, now there's a difference between temptation and trial. When tempted, no one shall say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So he's saying, don't. Don't blame your disobedience, your sin. Whatever unfortunate situation happens to you because of as a result of your sin and disobedience, don't even try to blame it on God. It's you. He's telling us that it's us. We followed our own evil desires. We've been tempted and lured away. We've been dragged away and enticed by lies and deception. He said, then after desire has conceived, yep, when we have let that desire overwhelm us, it gives birth to sin. We then do what that desire leads us to do, which is sin. And it says sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death, because the wages of sin is death. Death spiritually, death physically sometimes, but definitely spiritual death. Nobody who walks in disobedience and in sinfulness can claim they have a fellowship with God. No, they're spiritually dead. That's why we're told to always exercise self-control, always be aware always exercise self-control. We should keep our consciences clear all the time. We should, forgive those who sin against us. We should do good at all times, walk righteously, so that our hearts may be pure and we have our fellowship with God unbroken. Even anger makes me temporarily break my fellowship with God when I get so angry. Now, thank God it doesn't happen a lot. But it does that I will not, while I'm fuming, I cannot think right with God. I cannot approach him in prayer. And then it gets to the stage where I'm so ashamed of myself before the Lord. And I'm not happy because I feel that fellowship has been temporarily broken. And I have to repent and plead with God and seek forgiveness and everything to get back right with him. That peace comes back into my heart. But while I'm still working around in that aspect of my flesh, I don't have peace. And I don't have fellowship. And at such times, I feel so vulnerable because I'm thinking, ooh, what at this such a time? Maybe the devil could even set me a trap and get me. The fact that I even got so angry in the first place is almost a trap of the devil, but we are allowed. God understands that things will happen to make us angry sometimes. But he said, do not let the sun go down whilst that anger is still in you. So you see, we have a we are permitted anger sometimes because we live with people in a world where humans, we live amongst people who will provoke us and things like that, but we're told, don't keep it in. Get rid of it, there and then. So you see, there's a lot to the wisdom of God. It's amazing, a lot to give us peace and joy that everybody wants, and prosperity and blessings in all ways. So now, yeah. That's what he says. Do not forget my teaching, my son. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Because as long as we're still living, we have hope. God will still do things in our lives. He will keep us comfortably weak. He will keep us at peace. He will keep us blessed. We remain in his blessings. And prosperity is not all about material things, is it? Prosperity is looking around you and being so content and happy and joy-filled and at peace with your life and your home and everything pertaining to you. That's prosperity. It's not all about material things. You may have that too, if it is God's will. But many people have that and are not prosperous. Every other aspect of their lives is a sham. They're miserable. They are worse than wretches. Remember, in Revelation chapter 3, when God speaking to the churches, and hold on, let me try and find the very one I'm looking for. I think it was the church in Laodicea. Let me read it quickly. I know your deeds, Revelation 3 from 15. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This is the Lord speaking to the church in Laodicea at the time. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. That's the discipline of the Lord. Refined gold in the fire. That's what we all go through before we get to that place of maturity within him, isn't it? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You see, as far as they were concerned, they were materially wealthy. It was a very materially rich place, Laodicea. And this church, They are very wealthy. They probably have the elites, you know, like you have in certain churches today, you know, who have all the thieving politicians and all the perversely wealthy people who get their money, their filthy lucre from dubious means, but they go and think they can, you know, once they have membership of some church or the other, and they are pallies with the pastor, God forgets about all their sins and crooked ways. And so they're there, you know, thinking they've squared things with God. God is holy. But their leaders that they follow into such places called churches, they're cults, and the leaders too are rogues. They're fellow rogues like them. They're all crooked. So yes, this church, you know, they were doing very well. They thought, they said, you know, God said, look at you. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That is the situation of the prosperity of the world without Christ. It is not enough for us to be materially wealthy. If we are not rich in the Lord, we are poor, naked, wretched, blind, hopeless as well. But we thank God for his wisdom and his word to guide us. So I'll take the next two verses and we'll finish there for tonight. Verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That's amazing. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love primarily for God and then for your neighbor. Because we know the greatest commandment, according to our Lord, is to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, with all your soul. In other words, with everything you are and everything you have. Love the Lord your God with it. And then he said, and the other is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We love ourselves so much. We want to do the best for ourselves. We want to give the best to ourselves. We want to look after ourselves perfectly and wonderfully. We want to take care of ourselves. But he says, you know what? Love your neighbor in the same way. I have had some perverse people. So we're talking about perverse company and people of perverse thinking and perverse reasoning. I hear people, certainly Nigerians anyway, I've had many. And I mean, many times I've had this nonsense quoted where, yeah, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. So you put yourself first. I don't know where they got that from. But that's them misinterpreting the word of God. Bible doesn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. So I'm going to harm them. I'm going to hurt them because they've hurt me too. Where does that come from? But they've said it and they've quoted, you know, the Bible says, but they put their own buts in. No, it shouldn't be so. We will not get any kind of fulfillment or reward from misrepresenting the word of God or putting our interpretation to it in order to gratify our sin. You know, it says, do not forget my, let love and faithfulness, love for God, love for our neighbors, faithfulness in our relationships. That is not to say that people are going to be faithful to you back. No. But as far as you are concerned, you stay blameless. Faithfulness to our God. When we are faithful to God, we obey him. We honor him. When we're faithful to a person, we know that, don't we? Especially those people who have been married. You know, when you're faithful to a person, to your partner, you delight them in every way. They are the singular object of your affection. You know, you have no eyes for anyone else, no heart for anyone else. It's them. You're faithful, you're true to them, and you want to bring out the best in them, which is exactly what the Bible commands us in Ephesians about marriage. You know, when it talks to husbands about loving their wives, and you know, wives about honoring their husband, talks about it being that way, that you should bring the best out of each other. This is what happens when we are faithful in our relationships and love. He said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Should be the chain we wear, you know. It should be an adornment, a part of us, a part of our beauty. Love and faithfulness should be a part of our beauty accessory. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Because if you do, he says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man, primarily in the sight of God. In the sight of jealous and envious men, you will not win a good name. They know it within them, but they will never speak it out because they are jealous of you and envious. And so they despise you, actually. They can despise you, but they know. They know in their hearts, in their conscience, that you are a good person. They know that you're a loving and compassionate person. They know. But out of envy and jealousy, they will not want to admit it. But that's okay. Our concern, we don't want rewards from anybody anyway. Our concern is for God. I always say, since knowing the Lord anyway, before knowing the Lord, things were different. I was concerned about what people thought about me, what people said about me. But since knowing the Lord, I've thrown that away, like, who cares what people think? All that matters is what my Father knows about me, because He alone knows me. He knows me. He knows my thoughts before they've even come into my mind. He knows what I can and cannot do. Human beings, we tend to misunderstand each other, misrepresent each other, because we're not all knowing. We don't know everything. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart. I can only respond to what I see or what I hear you say. So we are prone to make wrong judgments about people and about situations and things. And so we can look at a person and judge them wrongly because we've come to our own assumptions about them, but God knows perfectly. So for that reason, whatever people may say about me doesn't really bother me. Believe me, it doesn't. I don't care, because all I'm concerned about is keeping a clear conscience before God, who knows me more than I know myself. I may sit here and tell you, you know what, I cannot do this thing. And God is looking at me and saying, yes, you can, and you will. You know, I'm saying, like, oh, I can never perform that thing. Ooh, no. Well, no, I couldn't do a thing like that. But God is looking at me thinking, okay, you little joker. Yes, you can, and you probably will tomorrow. You will do it tomorrow, actually, because I know. So you see, we've got to be very careful. God knows us more than we know ourselves. And so He alone, only His opinion matters. But even here is saying that when you let love and faithfulness never leave you, and you bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, then you will win favor. Favor from God, especially. And a good name in the sight of God and man. The righteous people will honor your name. They will honor you. They will appreciate you for who you are in Christ. God knows who you are, and He rewards. It's only the wicked, like I said. It's only the wicked who will not want to admit, you know, that you're a good person, that you're a decent person, that you're a lovely person to know. They won't, because your lifestyle, anyway, more than likely convicts them, and they don't like it. People do not like to be convicted. They don't like it. People don't like being pulled up on their sinfulness. They don't like it. You make them feel bad. You're telling, oh, look at that. There you go. Holier than thou. Don't judge me. God says, don't judge, and all that nonsense, you know, they will say, to defend their own sinfulness and inadequacy before God and before you. But we are told not to live that way. Live for God. Let's continue to dig, search for God's wisdom in everything. And you know, when we do live under God's wisdom, we'll speak words of grace all the time. And the time will come when people will tell you, not every second, every minute, but some people will tell you every now and then, like, you know what? Your words are always amazing. Your words are incredible. You know, oh, you always lift me up. Things like that. Like, oh, you always seem to have an answer to everything I say that troubles me. We don't have the answer. It's God's word, because it's His wisdom. And there is not a problem under the sun. There's not a question under the sun, as far as I'm concerned, that God has not provided an answer for in His written word. So when we live for Him, and live according to his word, we will be a well of wisdom for the benefit of ourselves and everybody else around us. So there we are. We'll leave it there for tonight. Any questions? No? Okay. As long as we are happy, we will continue next week with chapter 3 of Proverbs from verse 5, which is a verse I really love so much. I really love that so much. So we'll continue with that from next week. But for now, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your word. Your word gives us so much peace. Thank you, Lord, for leaving your word with us. Thank you for your church globally. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints in every way. We thank you for the wisdom you bless us with. We thank you for knowledge, for understanding of your will, your word, and your ways. Lord, there's nothing we desire more than to please you, than to honor you with our lives, because you redeemed these lives with your own blood. And we are grateful, Lord. We are so thankful. We pray, Father, that you would lead us and guide us. Help us to uphold the honor of your name, so that in all things, Lord, you will be glorified. Our Father in heaven will be glorified. And we will be children that you can look down at and be proud of us. And be able to say, as you testified of Job, consider my servant. There is none like him in the world, on earth, who honors God and shuns evil. We know this is your desire for each of us. Help us, Lord, to attain it. And Father, until we come back again to learn from you, I ask that you bless each person, bless each person's home, bless all our parts and all our ways, bless all that we do. Honor all our prayers, Lord. You know what everyone's desires are. I commit them all to you, Lord. You know where we hurt. You know where we rejoice. And Lord, I commit all things into your hands, because you are a Father in whom we trust. And we know that you will do that which is best for us, because you love us and we love you too, Lord. And we thank you. Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.